Good morning.
Good morning.
How is everyone this morning?
Fine.
Good to see some of our northern snowbirds that flew back into town for a couple days at least. The Myers are back with us for a few days, I guess. But welcome to everyone. We're glad you're in church today. After the monsoons, I'm glad you were able to swim out this morning and come to church. So we're glad you all are here. 6 p.m. right here in the sanctuary. It's just a great time of coming reflection and sharing communion and a blessing as well. So I encourage you to come out Wednesday evening for that. Our Bible study, of course, is continuing at 7 o'clock. So we will be here to do that as well. So let's now prepare our hearts and minds for worship. And let's praise God today. Amen.
my leg. But what's amazing is when you really read the Bible from cover to cover, and you sing the hymns, you can just see what the people were thinking as they wrote the hymns. Phenomenal way to praise God. And a phenomenal way to pray when you don't know how to pray. Join me this morning in this prayer. Actually, don't join me. Just listen, and I will do the prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, you are a God of love. Part the veil that keeps us feeling isolated and afraid. Bind us together in unity. We come together this morning for that very purpose. When our families hurt and betray us, help us to let go of our pain and work for the healing of all. When we feel abandoned by those we love, grant us the ability to forgive and to seek peace and reconciliation with those who have wronged us. When our hearts are pierced with anguish, teach us to trust once more so that we may find solace and grace through your loving Spirit. In the name of Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen. And continue standing, I believe, as we do worship in song.
I want to stay home with my mom.
parents because they made me go to school. That wasn't very nice of them, was it? They should have let me stay home. Right? Come on, you guys aren't agreeing with me here. Come on. Well, I know school has already started for you, Kat, right? Do you start tomorrow then? Devin looks like he's been sentenced. I know what you're going through, buddy. But it gets better, I promise. Because school's not really that bad. Yeah, right, he says. I know, I roll my eyes the same way. Well, I just wanted to bring you guys up here today. Are there any teachers or people that work in the school system with us today? Please stand up. If you're teachers or you work in the school system, stand up.
Volunteer is fine.
Volunteer is fine too, yes. If you work with kids. Okay, to get the crowd bigger. Past teachers? Anyone that's ever been to school? These people are unruly. Okay, because we want to pray for these beautiful children and for all the kids that will be going back to school and those that have already gone to school and for those of you that you've all sat down. Well, we're going to pray for you as well that God would make this the greatest year ever. You believe He can do that? I do too. Because we can have fun, we can learn, and learning is fun, right? Because I wouldn't be in a very good position right now if I didn't know any more than I did when I was in the first grade. I only know a little bit more than I did in the first grade, but I know something more. So I want to pray for you guys this morning that God would make this the best year ever, okay? Let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the learning and the inquisitive mind of our children. Father, I know it can be a scary time and a time when we don't think it's the best thing for us. But Father God, we are grateful to have a school system and teachers' aides and faculty and lunchroom workers and everyone that works in our schools to make learning an enjoyable thing. So Father, I just ask an anointing and a blessing upon our schools this year and all the students that will be going there to learn and to grow and to mature and to become Christ followers as well. Father, thank you for bringing them here this morning. Thank you for sending them to school tomorrow. And just be with everyone involved that this would be a good time for our children. We pray these things in Christ's holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. I think we do have some.
Now's the time we'll go before the Lord in prayer. We've got quite a few on our list today as well. We have praises for answered prayer and for healing in our church and our congregation. And we just continue to lift these folks up and some of the new names on our list as well this week. Hear these people and keep them in your hearts this week as we pray for them. Tom Hart, we got good news on him. He came home last night. I think he got home about 10 o'clock. So that's a praise. And, we just have to continue to pray that he will, they've had to sanitize their home, and he's got to be in just an extra clean environment. So just continue to pray for that and be sure that they can continue healing at home as well. Christina Hart has had bronchitis and has been sick, so we're praying for her to continue to get better as well. Gerald Breeze, he's been in Barrington Terrace with rehabilitation and just for continued strength and healing for him. Joe Geddes as well. I believe Joe is home, right, Nancy? And he is doing better, so let's continue to lift Joe up in our prayers. Teresa Wilhelm has had a knee injury and has really been struggling with that. I think she's probably still out today. Sandra Wallace, we continue to lift her up as well. Jim Baker's sister is under hospice care for their family. We lift up Wanda Loucher as well. She is having more and more serious side effects and symptoms from her lupus. So just continue to lift Wanda up and Lane as well as her caregiver. Lifting up Phyllis Harrington. It's good to see you in church today, Phyllis. We're praying for Esther, a transplant recipient. She is out of the hospital, so that is, continue to pray for her. And Catriona's bunny died yesterday, so that is so sad. Just keep her in your prayers for that. Bob's son, well, this is, must be Gene. His finger is healing. And I don't recall what happened there, but continue to lift Bob. Is that your son?
Yes.
Son Bob. Okay, Gene.
Yeah, he almost lost his finger.
Okay. I'm trying to decipher that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Colin for heart lung transplant. They're having complications. Sally is lifting that up as well. Tammy Baldwin's mother did a car accident and broke her ankle, so I think Tammy has gone up there to be with her and help her, so for Tammy and her mother as well. We're lifting up Maricela's daughter-in-law, Jacqueline. She's having surgery on Tuesday, and be with her son as well, Victor, and all of her grandchildren. Our teachers and students starting school tomorrow. Greg Howden is going into court on Friday. Mary Lou and George Brennanstall, they're moving. If you haven't heard, Mary Lou, they're trying to finalize their house sales and things, and they're having some problems with that. So keep the Brennanstalls in your prayers as well. Pat Thorne will be leaving. She's written me a little note here. She's been in Florida for 56 years, and she's starting a new life up in the... Where are you going again, did you say?
Virginia.
Up to Virginia. So we want to wish Pat the best and safe travels, and wish you the best, Pat, as well. Though there's many things on your heart this morning that you bring, we're just grateful that we have an opportunity and the Lord that listens to our prayers. So if you would, let's bow our heads together and pray this morning. Father God, you have heard our long list of just pleadings with you this morning, Lord, of loved ones that are feeling under the weather and dealing with serious health concerns. Lord, we lift them up to you today. Father, we have seen witness to the miracles and healing in our presence here, where we see those folks that are getting better and progressing each day. We lift them up to you, Lord. Father God, you are the greatest physician of all. And we know that as we bring our problems and our needs and our wants to you, that you always have an open ear for us. So, Father, I just lift all these individuals up to you today. The list can grow long, and Lord, it just seems that so many people are hurting and suffering from ill health and from addiction and from complications of life. But, Father, we worship a mighty God. None of these things are bigger than you, God. And your mere presence in each of these situations should give us hope and encouragement. Father, I pray for our church today. As we continue to try to grow and nurture a children's ministry here, I pray that we can become organized and the volunteers that have stepped up, Lord, we can get them organized and get a program in place for the children that we're begging for you to send to us. Father, I thank you for those that have stepped up and are reaching out to our youngest. And Father, I thank you for the opportunity we have to serve the children of our congregation and of our community. Father, I lift up our hurting world to you today. Unrest in Missouri. Father, we just pray that the peace of Christ can come over these situations. Father, whatever has happened, Father, let us see your grace in each of these instances around the world. Father, we pray for a world that is at war on many, many, many different fronts. So many, but where do we turn our attention? But Father, all we can do is continue to pray and to ask your intervention for you to be with the leaders, Lord, and to change hearts. I know the people, Lord, of the world want peace and love among all of us. The powers to be, Lord, can sometimes cause and to wreak havoc. We just pray that you would be in these circumstances, in these situations. Father, thank you for giving us this house of refuge. We feel blessed to be able to come here on Sunday morning, pour out our hearts and souls to you, lift up your name in praise and worship, and to just come and sit at your feet. Father, bless our time together as we pray together. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
Thank you.
Father, let it reach the many unchurched people in our own community. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Against being Bibles, but
This is the message, and I think it speaks to us in a special way. And what my wife refers to is words even I can understand. We're reading from Jonah chapter 4. We're going to read the entire chapter. Are you okay with that? It's a really long chapter. Hear these words. And see if you can find yourself anywhere in this story. First line, Jonah was furious. Anyone been furious? He lost his temper. He yelled to God, yelled at God, God, I knew it. When I was back home, I knew that this was going to happen. That's why I ran off to Tarshish. I knew you were sheer grace and mercy. Not easily angered, rich in love, and ready at the drop of a hat to turn your plans of punishment into a program of forgiveness. And you see his tone of voice, I know you're a good guy, you're going to forgive people. That just makes me furious. So God, if it won't kill you, kill me. I'm better off dead. How many times in this short little book of the Bible have we heard Jonah praying for death? Good grief, give it a break, dude. So God, if you won't kill me, if you won't kill them, kill me. I'm better off dead. God said, what do you have to be angry about? But Jonah just left. Now, can you turn and walk away and turn your back on God and walk away from that conversation? Apparently you can. He went out of the city to the east and sat down in a sulk. He put together a makeshift shelter of leafy branches and sat there in the shade to see what would happen to the city. God arranged for a broadleaf tree to spring up. It grew over Jonah to cool him off and get him out of his angry sulk. Jonah was pleased and enjoyed the shade. Life was looking up. But then God sent a worm. By dawn of the next day, the worm had bored into the shade tree and it withered away. The sun came up and God sent a hot, blistering wind from the east. The sun beat down on Jonah's head and he started to faint. He prayed to God, I'm better off dead. Then God said to Jonah, what right do you have to get angry about this shade tree? Jonah said, plenty of right. It's made me angry enough to die. God said, what's this? How is it that you change your feelings from pleasure to anger overnight about a mere shade tree that you did nothing to get? You neither planted nor watered it. It grew up one night and died the next night. So why can I likewise change what I feel about Nineveh from anger to pleasure? This big city of more than 120,000 childlike people who yet don't know right from wrong, to say nothing of all the innocent animals. May God add a blessing to the reading of His Word this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this message of Jonah. Father, when it seems we would be better off dead, let us remember that your love and grace overwhelm us. Father, bless the message today, that we would take from it the message of your love and grace for each one of us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So what do you think? Are you better off dead than in this miserable mess? Come on, Jonah, you're just a complainer. You're a whiner. Have you ever felt sorry for yourself? One honest person in this whole church. Everyone's fixing their shoelaces. Peggy, you're honest. See, I call out the honest ones. If you do something good, I will give you praise. Well, I've sort of felt sorry for myself a time or two. You see, in chapter 4 of Jonah, he had been to Nineveh. He preached to them. He gave them the word of God. The king said, wow, I better listen to this. Who is this guy? Maybe I better listen to him. From the king down, every person in Nineveh. The king stripped down, wrapped himself in sackcloth, and went and sat in the dust. Anyone done that before? Not even Cain. Because we don't do that today, do we? We don't wrap ourselves in old gutty sacks and go find a good dusty place and sit there and tell God we're sorry. Where do we go to tell God we're sorry today? In whatever mess we find ourselves in, right? When we find ourselves in a mess, but you know, I love this scripture because have you ever known a person or a group of people, or maybe in the workplace, or maybe in your neighborhood, and after reluctantly praying for them, if you've prayed for them as well at all, God blesses them. And God repents. When they repent, God's forgiveness is overflowing upon them. You see Jonah's dilemma. He hated this place. They're evil people. They're no good. God, why are you going to show them favor? Now that's pretty angry, isn't it? Because Jonah was going to pack up and go back home, and he probably wouldn't have much interaction with the people of Nineveh. But when he went home, or he didn't, you know, the book of Jonah kind of leaves us hanging, doesn't it? He's still sitting out there under the old dead shade tree. This book does not end up with a lot of our questions being answered, does it? What it does do is teach us of God's love. God hated Nineveh, but his heart changed towards it. That's what it said, right? God's heart changed toward this city, this evil, wicked place. So God blessed them. That really PO'd him, Jonah, didn't it? I knew you were going to do this. Have you ever had that conversation with God? God, those are mean people on the other side of the street. Don't bless them. And then you see a Rolls Royce and a big mansion being built over there. You say, I knew you would do this. I knew you would do this to me. Now, why does Jonah think, why do they get the blessing? And look at me. I'm sitting out here under this now wilted shade tree. Why is Jonah so angry? Why was God angry? We see anger in this book, don't we? God went from angry to forgiving. Jonah went from angry to angrier. What's going on here? Do we not wish God's blessings on others, even our enemies? Set a table for me in the presence of my enemies. A banquet set before my enemies for me. I don't like this. The steak's too well done. Too salty on these green beans. Why do we do that? Why? So Jonah's mad at God. Begins with an I told you so statement. His attitude stinks, doesn't it? Everyone here always had a good attitude. No, we don't always have a good attitude. Was Jonah just having a bad day? Can we blame it on that? A few other things about Jonah's lousy attitude. Jonah never really demonstrates any real interest in the people of Nineveh, does he? He despised them from the outset. He tried to run the other way. If God would have destroyed the city, Jonah would have gone home a happy man. See, I love this. I used to do this when I worked. I'd have certain individuals that I couldn't stand, and I say some to myself because I'm a good person. Someday you're going to get what you have coming to you, and I hope I'm here to see it. Well, I retired 3 years ago, and I'm still waiting to see the bad stuff happen to some of these people. So that's what Jonah did. I'm going to go over here and give them the word that's going to turn their lives around. And then I'm going to go out here and sit on the side of a hill and watch God burn the city to the ground. That's the spirit, huh? That's the spirit. We're all good people here. Let's watch him toast. Yeah. But you know, it was a bit of a silver lining. This is a little nugget we should take from this story. Even as mad as Jonah was, what did he do? He still prayed to God, didn't he? Now, he didn't have a very good prayer at some point, but he still prayed to God. He still was working and nurturing his relationship with God. Even though it was, I told you so, he never really turned his back on God, did he? Have you ever been mad at God? Jonah seems to be mad at the world, isn't he, at this point? He's begged for death on many occasions. You think God's laughing and saying, "Nah, you're going to stick around just a little longer. I got some more fun stuff for you." I wonder what happened when he got up from under his old wilted tree and trudged off towards home. You think he was in a good mood when he got home? The wife said, "Oh, welcome home." I wonder what his attitude was like. Jonah's not the only person in Scripture we find that's mad at God, is he? When I counsel with people and talk to people and they're just angry about a situation or whatever, I say, go for it. Get mad at God. He's a big God. He can take it. People through eternity have been mad at God. And God is still God. So if you need to go out, put some sticks together and sit on the side of the hill in the shade, and God sends you a little relief one day, and then says, "I bet the worm was happy, don't you? Man, look at this nice little bush here. Wonder who planted this here for me." Bores into it and dies. God provides and God takes away. But how could Jonah, of all people, forget God's mercy so quickly? He could have died when he was thrown into the sea. He could have died in the fish's belly. He could have died when he went into Nineveh. I'm sure they didn't particularly like him as well. Through this whole passage, Jonah thinks he's right and God is wrong. You ever had that argument with God? "God, you're just wrong on this one. I'm sorry. But you messed this up." How does that work out for you? He argues with God. But he got ready, God got ready to teach Jonah some lessons, didn't he? I hope you take from this study we've done on Jonah to take some things home with you. God helped Jonah to regain his perspective. God took Jonah's anger in stride, didn't he? That really didn't ruffle God's feathers, did it? He allowed Jonah to set himself up for a fall. He let him go in and preach to the people. He let him go out on the side of a hill and build a shelter and then sent a nice bush for shade. But Jonah never left his relationship with God. As he sat out there sweating and was miserable, God sent a plant to grow and then a worm the next day to eat. Do you think the message from God that day was, I'm going to give you a little rest? When my nice shade tree dies, get up and go about your business. Is there a lesson there? How long should we go sit under our shade tree? How many of us continue to sit under the shade tree when it's dead and withered and fallen down around us? And we're still sitting there waiting for another opportunity to serve God. I believe when we've chosen that place, God's not leaving us there. He's getting us up. He's getting us all on our way. So what's the lesson God taught here? I hate learning difficult lessons, don't you? Those difficult lessons. Like in school. Like in life. Like in our church life. Like in our home life, our work life. God teaches us a lesson in all those places. God helps us to work through those tough things. And we can learn some great lessons from others. How many of you like to be the benefactor of someone else's misery? Maybe just as an observer. But how many of you have had someone in your life as an example of who not to be like? And at the end of the day, pray to God. This is not probably the proper prayer, as the Pharisee in the temple was praying. God, I'm good, but don't let me be like that miserable louse over there. But we can pray and say, God, thank you for showing me an example of how not to be. How not to be. Those are all those lessons that we have. Jonah was selfish. That selfishness thing stings, doesn't it? I don't like being selfish, and I try not to be. I think I'm pretty good with that. But there's times when I say, give it to me. Mine. It's about me. I think that's a lesson that God taught Jonah that day under the tree. Being selfish can come naturally to us. And that's the part that we need to fight constantly. We need to know that God is right. And sometimes we're right if we listen to God. Referring back to my work life when I used to have conflict, the managers above me would say, well, this is how we're going to do it. It may not quite be right. I got into these personnel issues. When I had people working for me, I tried to have their back. Managers would say, you know, that rating's a little too high. Why don't you... You know, you'd have two or three people doing a rating. And they would say, you know, we really don't have money in the budget for this. The person deserved the raise. And the manager would come and say, you know, we need to cut that back a little bit. You need to cut your part back. On more than one occasion, I said, no. I'm not going to do that because it's not right. There's money for other things. There's money for this person to have a raise. And I would always tell people, when you have those conversations in meetings, I don't know, I might have been a little arrogant, but I would say, right is might. If something's right, take it. Take that fight to the end. If you in your heart feel like you're right. Now, are we always right? Wait a minute, trick question. Do we sometimes think we're right? We may not necessarily be right. That doesn't happen with me, but I can see that probably happens with some of you folks. But I would say right is might. When things are just, most of the time it had to do with relational things, maybe not necessarily work things, but right is might. If Jonah had been right about his speaking, God would have honored that, wouldn't he? But God was right. Jonah was wrong. So right is might. I just attended Thursday and Friday a Willow Creek Leadership Summit. And I love this story. There's a pastor, a Spanish pastor in Chicago, Wilfredo de Jesus. They call him Pastor Choco. I asked my wife, what does Choco mean? He was Puerto Rican. He was from the Dominican Republic, Puerto Rican. And they called him Pastor Choco for chocolate. My wife tells me there's no such word in Spanish, so I don't know where they come up with this. But anyway, he told a story. He started a church with like 20 people meeting in his house. Inner city Chicago. Great story. I'm not going to do it justice, but I want to give you the gist of the story. They prayed and prayed and prayed for a congregation, and all they had around their church where they tried to plant this church were prostitution, drug dealing, all that kind of bad stuff going on. So they prayed and prayed, and people trickled in little by little. The church starts slowly, slowly growing. He was praying to God, what can I do to bring this community into church? One day he told one of his assistants, said, go out into the neighborhood and bring me 5 prostitutes. It was a woman, by the way. She said, what? He says, yeah, I need 5 prostitutes. Go out and find me 5 women and bring them back here to the church. So she went out, came back with these 5 ladies dressed in their ladies of the evening attire with high heel shoes this high and all that stuff. And the assistant gets out of the car and they said, well, they've agreed to do this for $50, and this one said she'll do this for $40, and this one will do something for $25, whatever, whatever. So he says, okay, bring them up here. So he pulls it in, reaches in his pocket, pulls out a lot of money. He said, what was your charge? And she said, $50. He peels off $50 and gives it to her. He goes down the line, give him the money. And when he got done, he said, now see, you don't need to do this to yourselves to earn money. So he invites them to church, and sure enough, the prostitutes, the drug dealers, the lowlives of the community start coming to church. I'm thinking they went out on the streets and, hey, this dude, Pastor Choco, you go to church, he's going to give you $50 for showing up. So the church continued to flourish and flourish and flourish. And finally had a pretty good, I think they said they had 7,000 or 8,000 members in their congregation now. And he said one Sunday God told him to get up in front of the congregation and say, someone in this congregation has a farm they need to get rid of, and I want it. Of course, no one's hand went up. Next week, there's someone in this congregation that has a farm and I want it. No one's hand went up. So I think a few months went by. And finally, someone calls him in the office and says, listen, my aunt and uncle have passed away. They have a farm. It's about 70 miles from where the church is. He said, great, we'll take it. They made the transaction. Someone donated this huge farm out in the country. They built a retreat center and rehabilitation center there. I think he said to date they've had 600 women off the streets of Chicago that have gone to this retreat center and cleaned their lives up and came back to the church. We all clapped, absolutely. Because how would God send you to a place like Nineveh and make things happen and reach out to those folks in Nineveh, those evil, wicked people, and God make that ministry flourish? Like I said, now they have like, I think it's 7,000 or 8,000 member congregation now. Amazing story. And you know what I did when I walked, sitting there, you know, you always have ups and downs in ministry. I don't know if you know that, but some days I really feel like, boy, we're doing some good work. And some days I'm like, man, what are we doing? What are we doing? We're not doing anything. And I've only been in ministry 3 years, but I tell you, the thought hasn't crossed my mind that, what are we doing? This is tougher than I thought it was going to be. This is not quite as much fun as I... God said this was going to be fun. Most of the time I have fun. I'm not sounding woe is me. But what I did when I left there, I was re-energized for ministry. So someone here has a farm, and I'm going to go downtown Lake Worth with a pocket full of money, and we're going to get all the prostitutes off the street and bring to church. You okay with that? There's a ministry there. There's someone that needs God's word, right? It could be anybody. I don't know where God's leading us. I have no clue. You feel confident with me saying that? I don't know what we're doing here. But every day I pray, God, show us something to do. Give us a job. I tell you every week, we've all got a job to do. Let's continue to pray that God will reveal that to us, right? And if you have a big farm, come and see me. You know, I see a little Jonah in myself. Jonah really, the book of Jonah doesn't answer a lot of questions for us, but it gives us an example. It gives us an example that even a whining prophet that says, God, I knew you were going to do this. You were going to be good to those miserable people. And I don't like it. Send in the worms. So let's quit focusing on ourselves and begin to focus more on God and others. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this great story of Jonah. We never knew in the beginning that this would have such wide-ranging effects on us. Father, we can get mad at you. We can yell at you. We can scream at you. We can go sulk on the side of a hill. But you will not leave us there. You may provide temporary shade, but then it's time to get up and move on. So Father, just bless us now as we leave this place, as we feel your presence and your guiding light in each of us. We pray these things in Christ's holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, please stand for our closing hymn, God Leads Us Along.
Thank you.
Amen. That picture looked a lot better than sitting on the side of the hill under a worm-eaten, withered tree. Receive this benediction. Father God, go with us from this place. Let us always be mindful of the work you've laid out for each of us. Father, grant us peace and harmony in our own little world. Father, we pray these things in Christ's holy name. Amen.
Thank you.